It is 1:30. This is KYR 89.1. I'm Daniel Breen. We are breaking into our regular programming this hour to bring you live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. At yesterday's briefing, we heard Governor Hutchinson say that the state had a total of 4,164 cases. That is an increase of 121 new positive test results since the day before yesterday. And the total number of deaths from COVID-19 as of yesterday was at 95. The latest update from the health department shows both of those totals are unchanged. We also heard yesterday 849 cases of the coronavirus are considered active in Arkansas, along with 59 people who are hospitalized with COVID-19 and 12 of whom that are receiving mechanical ventilation. Now we go live to Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking from the state capitol. You're listening to KYR 89.1.
Good afternoon. Am I early? I heard somebody say I was early. First, I wanted to recognize the contribution from the Boys and Girls Club of Jacksonville. A very nice mask that they sent me, and wanted to recognize and thank them for that contribution. And then secondly, before we begin the formal briefing today, I wanted to say happy birthday to a great veteran of the United States, Herman Higgs, who is 103 years old today. Herman Higgs is presently in the North Little Rock Veterans Home. He has served us in the United States Army. He was born in Calhoun County in May 13, 1917. He was drafted in the U.S. Army at the age of 21. He served all 4 years of the war, the last being a prisoner of war. And when his transportation convoy was captured by German forces during the Battle of the Bulge. He returned to Calhoun County after the war, married to Virginia Vaughn for 57 years. They have one daughter, Charlotte Higgs Washington, and Mr. Higgs served as city policeman in El Dorado for 29 years and as U.S. Marshal for 24 years. What a distinguished career of service, and we wish our good friend, Corporal Retired Herman Hudson Higgs, a happy birthday today. I wanted to recognize Dr. Nate Smith, of course, our Secretary of Health. We also have today Bo Ryle, who's the Executive Director of the Arkansas Hospital Association, and LaShannon Spencer, who is Executive Director of the Community Health Centers Association, and delighted to have them here speaking to an important issue that is important to our entire state and our future. And so let me first, though, go through our case report. Yesterday, we had 4,164 cases. Today, we've had an additional 72 cases. That brings us to 4,236 COVID-19 cases in Arkansas. In terms of hospitalizations, they've gone from 59 up 5 to 64. And in terms of deaths, an increase of 2 additional deaths that we have now 97 deaths as a result of COVID-19. I want to go to the slides, and then we want to talk about testing for a little bit today. And in terms of our numbers, that you can see them again, that today we're down significantly from yesterday when we had that spike, as you can see. And so I like our place better today with about 72 new cases, and only one of those was in the corrections area. And so the next slide shows the trend, which is a 7-day rolling average of COVID cases. The orange line shows the trend line, and as you can see, we had our peak. We're having a little bit of a spike. We hope that goes down shortly as it did today. And then the next slide shows the number of hospitalizations that we have in Arkansas. Again, we reached the height of about 109, and then it's gone down, and we have currently 64 hospitalized. And then the next slide, this was asked the other day about where are the active cases. And so these are only active cases. This is not all the cases, but these are active cases. Now, Dr. Smith has the number for each county, so you could see it by number, but I know that would be hard to see from a distance, and so this is color-coded. And the dark blue are the counties that have 100 or more active cases. The lighter blue that you see would be 70 to 99 active cases. So you see Jefferson and Lincoln County in that category. And then the next shade of blue would be the 30 to 69 category of counties. And you see Benton, Washington, some of the northeast counties there as well. And then it goes on down, obviously. And then the white would be just 1 to 4 cases. And then the next shade is 5 to 9 cases. And so the lighter the shade, the fewer active cases that we have. And of course, Lincoln County is a good example of where we had a very, very large number of cases, but that has decreased now because these are reporting active cases, and a lot of those have recovered there in Lincoln County. And now I want to talk about testing, which, as everyone knows, our goal is to to have 60,000 tests done in the month of May. And if you go to the next slide, I think you can see where we are in terms of our testing results in Arkansas. And this is just for the month of May. And so on May 1, you can see how many tests we had done. You know, these are cumulative totals, so every day we do more tests, it goes up. And so today on May 13th, actually, that reports, I think it's May 12th, but it's 23,949 tests have been done. 23,949 tests have been done thus far in the month of May. And for those who are quick at the calculations, when our goal is 60,000, you know that we are not there yet. We still have, about 37,000 cases or tests more to do during the month of May, and that's one of the things we want to talk about today, is how we get there. And so this is our goal of 60,000. We're right now at 23,949. And if you look at how many tests we have done in Arkansas since we began, which was March 11, whenever we first declared the emergency, we started our testing, we have done 73,215 tests. And so even though we're not to our goal yet in May, the 23,900 reflect almost one-third of our total tests that we've done since we began this challenging time. This last reporting period, the last 24 hours, we did 2,278 tests, which is a good number for us. We're pleased with that. That represents a 2.2% positivity rate, which again goes back down to a low level. And I appreciate UAMS and their continued hard work and testing. They had a high number. Department of Health continues to do its testing as well. And the reason testing is important is not just now at this particular moment to know where we are in the state of Arkansas in terms of any uptick or any new addition of cases in a particular community, but it is to look long term, to have the infrastructure for testing so that as we look at the summer, we look at the fall, we hear Dr. Fauci talk about a potential of a resurgence. We want to make sure we have the testing capacity in Arkansas, and that's why we're building it. And with that, we want to be able to expand in a number of different areas. And the reason, again, testing is so important is that if we're in a war, radar tells us where the enemy is on the horizon. And so testing is our radar system. It gives us an early warning capability for where an uptick will be, where there's an increased potential of an outbreak, and we can get a handle on it. And that is our objective. We have to learn to live and manage and to work through the potential of COVID-19 in the next year until we get a vaccine. And to accomplish that, testing is a critical part of that infrastructure. We'll be talking a lot about that in the coming weeks. But I want to thank the community health centers across Arkansas and LaShannon Spencer for her leadership. She has called up her community health centers and asked them, what more can we do to support the testing initiative of our state? And they have committed to provide over 2,000 collections in May to add to this objective of reaching our 60,000 goals. They collect the samples and they send them in, of course, to the testing laboratories or to the Department of Health. But they're a critical partner in it. And then BORAA with the Arkansas Hospital Association are critical. All the local hospitals that do the testing, what they can do for us is to make sure those in the community understand the testing availability. We need people to access the testing opportunity through the hospitals, and Mr. Ryle will speak to that. And so with that, Dr. Smith, I turn the podium to you.
And this is Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith.
Thank you, Governor. I'd like to give a few more details on the numbers. As the governor mentioned, we had 72 new cases. Only one of them was from corrections, so 71 in the community. Our total is 4,236, as the governor stated. Of those, 862 are active cases. 295 of those are in correctional facilities, 90 are in nursing homes, and 477 are in the community. And the governor showed you already a map showing the distribution of those active cases. And just to build on that, you can can we go back to that map? Yes, you can see the majority of the active cases are currently in St. Francis County, and the vast majority of those are within the Federal Correctional Institute. The county with the second greatest number of active cases is our most populous county, Pulaski County. And then you can see we've got lower numbers in Jefferson and Lincoln counties. And then we've got a tier below that includes Craighead, Mississippi County, Union County, Benton, Washington County. You can see them up there. So this is the distribution of our active cases. And you can also see from this, the majority of our counties do not have any active cases that we've identified. That doesn't mean that they necessarily have no one who's infected. As I said yesterday, I'm concerned about the ones who have tested positive, but I'm also concerned about the folks out there who are infected that we have not yet diagnosed. And so that's I'll talk a little bit more about testing in just a moment. Continuing with our numbers, we have, as the governor said, 64 currently hospitalized. That's a net increase of 5 from yesterday. We have 13 on a ventilator. That's a net increase of 1. And we're up to 97 deaths, which is an increase of 2 from yesterday. We do have 3,277 who have recovered. That's an increase of 57 from yesterday. As a brief update on our nursing homes, we have 51 nursing homes with one or more residents or staff who have been infected. We have a total of 316 residents. That's an increase of 17 from yesterday. And we have 176 staff. That's an increase of 2 from yesterday. In terms of our correctional facilities, our numbers at the Cummins unit are the same. We have 3 additional cases that have been reported at the FCI, so we have a total of 335. There is additional testing going on this week, led by the CDC team. That is to conclude tomorrow, on Thursday. We have also an additional within the Pine Bluff unit, the Randall Williams unit. We have 48 inmates who have tested positive, and I believe 2 staff as well. In terms of demographics, I don't do that every day, but I would like to mention a few demographics. Of our total cases, we've had 38.8% African American, and of our deaths, it's been 38.9%. So although African Americans are overrepresented in our total number of cases, we don't have a disparity in terms of deaths. Our African American Arkansans are not more likely to die if they get the infection, which is a good news. In terms of age, our age category that has the greatest percentage of cases is the 25 to 44 year range. And 38.7% of our total cases have been in that 25 to 44 year range. Now, the 65 and greater have only been 15.9% of our cases, but they represent 71.6% of our deaths. So our older Arkansans are not the most number of cases, but they're the ones at highest risk for a bad outcome. I want to talk a little bit about testing. The governor has mentioned that we are making good progress towards our goal of 60,000 for this month. If we continue at this pace, then we will actually exceed that since there's 31 days in the month. My goal is for us to increase the rate and to exceed that goal, and we are very happy for the support that we've had both from the community health centers as well as from the hospitals and many others who are doing testing. I've talked to Bo today about the fact that UAMS and I believe Baptist Hospitals have expressed their intention to start screening all of their new admissions, which I think is a great idea, and encouraging other hospitals to do that. And we now have a supply of the swabs and the viral transport media for them to collect those, so we can provide those to them if they choose to do that. Also, our long-term care facilities, including nursing homes, we've done a lot of testing there, but there's more we could be doing. Not just responding to where we have cases, but maybe do some screening as well. We're looking at that very carefully together with them. Another potential area is dialysis centers, and then even potentially emergency departments to increase their testing there. So there's lots of opportunities for us to do testing in a way that doesn't just boost our numbers, but is strategic in identifying cases so that we can stop the spread of COVID-19 and ultimately save lives. I think I've covered all that I need to cover today. We've talked about the active cases by county, but I'll go ahead and turn it back over to the governor.
Well, there was a conversation that delighted me before I came in here, and that was whenever LaShannon Spencer said all we need is swabs, and we might need some help with that. And Dr. Smith said, don't worry, we've got plenty. And whenever you're talking about PPE and supply chain, that is good news to hear that conversation. I want to invite LaShannon Spencer up to come and talk a little bit about the contribution of the community health centers. LaShannon.
This is LaShannon Spencer, CEO of the Community Health Centers of Arkansas.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Governor. It's good news for community health centers to be able to join an effort up under his great leadership. And Governor Hutchison and to the health department, we stand in partnership to expand our testing efforts to, we're committing to 2,000 tests a week in order to help you ensure that you reach that 60,000 tests per month. Our health centers across the state of Arkansas are offering multiple testing sites. We have drive-through screenings and as well as tents. And what I really want to emphasize, if you do not have insurance, we're able to offer testing for free. We're in a lot of hard reach to places, especially in our rural communities. Our mission is to provide access to quality health care where there would no other services or providers would actually be. We want to emphasize that you still need to take care of yourself during this times, and so primary care needs should still be paid attention to. At Community Health Centers of Arkansas, we offer every effort to ensure your protection from this virus when you actually arrive at our clinic, so we're taking the necessary measures to ensure that you're protected as well. We know that you are healthier, and there's a less chance of you actually being harmed and receiving or contracting that virus when you actually walk into our health center. So we're making sure that we take the necessary measures to ensure that your safety is covered as well. We want to emphasize that our health centers actually offer telehealth as well, and so we're able to offer those services to you. Governor, and to Dr. Nate Smith, we stand in partnership and to work with you in order to address this virus that's impacting many of our communities. Thank you so much.
Thank you, LaShannon, and their partnership is very important to us. With that, Bo Ryle, Executive Director of the Arkansas Hospital Association.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you, Governor and Secretary Smith, for your continued leadership during this time. We appreciate you. This week marks National Hospital Week, and we want to recognize all the healthcare workers throughout the state. You are the true heroes, and we appreciate all that you are doing in your communities and for your patients. Thank you so much. On testing, hospitals are conducting many tests each day. We're utilizing our in-house labs, commercial labs, and the Arkansas Department of Health lab. We encourage anyone experiencing symptoms to visit one of the testing sites made available on the Arkansas Department of Health website and/or to contact your local hospital to determine the testing location and procedure. Hospitals are publicizing information with testing campaigns within their communities, so please pay attention to your local hospital's website, your local media, and hospital social media out there as we all strive to reach this goal of 60,000 testing this month. In addition, I would also like to add that hospitals have remained open and are available to assist with your healthcare needs. If you have been delaying medical care, we would encourage you to follow up with your physician and hospital to schedule an appointment. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Bo, and with that, we'll take any questions.
Dr. Smith, where are we at in the number of contact tracers?
And this is Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith.
Can you repeat that question?
Where are we at in the number of contact tracers?
Like we have over 200 currently. We have a goal of reaching 350. From where we are right now, that's what we think we're going to need moving forward. Now, there have been higher estimates of that. In a paper put out by Johns Hopkins that estimated our need to be over 900. By strategic use of technology and the fact that our numbers have not gone up as high as maybe they were expecting, we should be able to cover that. It's not just the number of warm bodies, though. It's having the right people with the right training and the right equipment working together in a coordinated fashion. And as much as the people collecting the data, it's the data flow, it's the informatics that we need in order to make those data points into useful, actionable information.
I guess to kind of follow up with you there, is there any concern over that rolling 7-day average? It seems like the past about week or so, it's just been kind of a steady incline. I know it's kind of balanced out a little bit here and there, but overall, we've kind of seen a shoot up.
Right, our epi curve has been, very difficult to model mathematically. It's sort of been ups and downs. We had a low of 28 and a high of 121 this week. So, we have some explanations for some of those. We had a large increase yesterday, which reflected a lot of testing that happened over the weekend in Forest City, which is a good thing. It's a little bit, hard to know from day to day where our trajectory is going, but we'll look at the end of the week and see where we are.
Does that make things harder in terms of reopening or which restrictions to lift if things can be kind of erratic?
If we had a nice, gradual, steady downturn like all those mathematical models projected, then it would make my job a whole lot easier. What we do have to do is to look more deeply and get a more granular picture. When I see a number a day like yesterday, the first thing we do is say, where are those cases coming from? And then who is it who's testing positive? So we can get down and understand the reason for it and then address that specifically. And our increased numbers from Forest City really didn't have anything to do with barber and beauty shops, as far as I know. These are the things where we have to actually get a little bit more deeply down into the explanations.
Alexis.
The music venue Temple Live said they plan on defying the cease and desist order from the Department of Health. Any comments on that?
I'm not aware of that information. We issued the cease and desist order, and we expect the law to be complied with. And that would be disappointing, and obviously that would encounter some consequences if that's the direction that they pursued. But I hope that in the end, and I would think that the patrons, when they know that the concert should not happen under Department of Health guidelines, that they would use the good judgment and not attend.
On the new cases, do you know if any of those are from the St. Francis County? And I also wanted to ask, there's health department's going to be doing some testing there on Saturday. As I understand it, just anybody, whether they have any symptoms or, you know, just anybody who shows up. So that sounded kind of interesting to me.
Do we know about St. Francis County?
This is Health Secretary Nate Smith again.
Yeah, the number I have for St. Francis County from this the numbers from today, from yesterday to today, is 5 cases. Our largest, our county with the largest number over that last 24 hours has actually been Craighead County with 10, but none of those are a big jump like the 27 we had yesterday from St. Francis.
Let's go remotely and...
Yes, may. Governor, there's a new question for you. Can I follow up on the Temple Live question? I guess the question for you would be, if they don't comply, as you're hoping that they do, even though today they have said they will not, what kind of enforcement would be done? Would this be an ADH enforcement? Would AFP go in? Would they face a fine? Would they be arrested? What kind of consequences could they face?
Well, I don't want to go too far down that path. This is Wednesday, and the concert's set for Friday. We just issued the cease and desist order. We expect compliance with that. You know, our enforcement capacity can utilize local law enforcement because this is an enforceable order that we have in place, and there could be other remedies as well. So let's just take this a step at a time. Again, I would think that common sense would prevail, and they will follow the direction of the cease and desist order.
Governor, I have another question along the Temple Live subject. This is Allison with 4029. The owners of that venue are wondering how their venue is different than a church or a large place of worship, which is allowed to have more people and less restriction.
Well, I mean, the first point is that under our guidance, we allowed for these large indoor venues to open on May 18th. They're not in compliance with that directive. And that was based upon public health guidance. And so to, you know, like I said yesterday, if we gave direction for the, as we did, for restaurants to serve inside dining on May 11th, you don't expect people to open up before that. I think you would be looking at us with, you know, what's this about if you don't enforce it, if you don't expect compliance on that time frame. And I'll ask Dr. Smith if he wants to make any additional comment on that, but that is the fundamental point, is that they knew in advance that this was the target date. They've proceeded on with this in violation of the directive. You have anything else, Dr. Smith?
And Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith again.
When we've developed each of these directives, we've had in mind the particular groups that are involved in those directives. Obviously, a place of worship is different than a concert hall. There are some similarities, but there are also some significant differences, especially that you know, with this event, they're expecting people from a number of different states people who normally wouldn't come in contact with each other, and so that really increases the risk of COVID-19 transmission. But the biggest point is that the places of worship who are falling within our guidance and within our directives, they're just fine. But just like we would any other type of business that chose to do something that was clearly outside of the directive and had been counseled and conversations had gone on and they continued to persist in that, we would take a similar action.
To the table, please. Let's...
So Dr. Fauci was talking about a resurgence in the fall, and I guess other people are fearful of that. So the League of Women Voters has asked you about absentee balloting, no excuse, whatever that's called, absentee balloting. And it seems like that's a decision that needs to be made fairly soon. Have you thought any more about that?
Well, I have thought about it, and because I get asked about it, but it's also an important election. And the challenge is that I've extended the emergency, which means my emergency powers goes for a limited amount of time. I think we extended it for 45 days. And so in November, I don't know whether we're going to be in an emergency. I don't know what the environment will be in terms of, you know, I hope that schools will be functioning. I believe that the colleges will be functioning. The businesses will be functioning. And so we don't know that there will be any impediment for the election itself. There could be a resurgence, and so it's a little bit unpredictable. And so to change on a policy level to mail-in voting or into absentee voting, it's a question first is, you know, can I use any emergency powers to accomplish that? And secondly, should I do that? And my judgment is that before I would ever use my emergency powers, I would need to know that it was an emergency that we needed to act upon. And now, in terms of absentee voting, I'm in favor of no excuse absentee voting. And so if there is a issue that needs to be addressed in November, in which we're still in a public health emergency, I will at that time use the powers for no excuse absentee voting, just as I did in some of the special elections that we've already had.
Ballots printed to be able to do that, absentee ballots, that is, at that point.
Well, I mean, you got a plan. I don't know of any obstacle there. We'd have to look into that, but I'm not aware of any challenge there. Another question?
Governor, as more universities announce that they plan to go back to school in the fall on site, are you considering any testing requirements for students out of state or even just living on in the dormitories?
The answer is we are looking and working with our higher education institutions a means in which we can do rapid testing of students, not necessarily all students, but students that are symptomatic, students that have a particular need for testing, that we can move in there quickly, identify any issue, and address it. That is the testing, the tracing, the isolation, and that's how you continue to operate. And so we are looking at that, so expect more information as we get closer to it. We're continuing to develop the exact protocols that will be available, hopefully, to all higher education institutions in Arkansas in terms of testing. Let's go remotely and see if there's another question remotely.
Yeah, Governor, this is Andrew with AP. Had a question for Dr. Smith about the Randall Williams unit. Want to see how much if there's additional testing going on there, you know, what other steps may be happening, and if there's any concern about this growing the way we've seen the Cummins cases.
This is Health Secretary Nate Smith.
My understanding is a very good question. It's about the Randall Williams unit in Pine Bluff. My understanding is that all the inmates have already been tested. There may be a few more staff who need to be tested, but once we've tested everyone, we know who's positive, who's negative, who's exposed, who's not exposed. At that point, it's fairly easy to bring an outbreak under control. And I believe that all the testing of the inmates has already been completed.
Dr. Smith, can you elaborate a little more on what we're going to see from Oaklawn as they are putting out that they're going to be opening up Monday?
We are still reviewing their plan, although I've seen an earlier draft of it, and it looked very comprehensive. And I think that the all three of the casinos in our state have really taken this very seriously and gone to very detailed measures to try and make their facility as safe and as clean as possible. Nothing is risk-free, but they've done a lot to try and ensure that, and we'll continue to work with them on the final version of their plan.
So they haven't been given the green light yet on that?
I haven't signed off on the final version yet, but I've been very impressed with the earlier draft.
Governor, this is Rolly Hart, the THV 11.
Yes. Go ahead.
Governor, congressional leaders have come out with another proposal for more aid. It seems like the Democratic leadership there is going to focus on getting aid to cities, towns, states. So how much does Arkansas need, and how much would you want to see come back from a proposal like that?
Well, first of all, that's in discussions on the House side. The Senate has their own separate agenda and ideas on what kind of relief should be provided. So they've got a lot of work to do in Washington. I've been in regular contact with our federal delegation on this, and clearly our cities and counties need some help. They've incurred some cost. But they also have some financial strains, particularly in the rural parts of Arkansas and our rural cities. There's not a dollar figure that I can provide to you. In terms of the state budget, as long as the Federal CARES Act money comes with sufficient flexibility, we can manage the needs that we have in the state. We're going to have to tighten our budget, but that's what we do in Arkansas. And I recognize that when it comes to another round of CARES Act funding or federal funding, that we have to be very careful, because this is increasing our national debt. In Arkansas, we don't need federal money to help us with our state shortfall on the budget. We will manage it through it. I know that New York and some other states are in a totally different position, but I hope that they're very, very careful about the next round of funding and how it's spent, and to make sure that while the states get some flexibility, that we're not bailing out states for errors that they made even before we had a COVID national emergency. But our cities, our counties, we're looking at for ways that we can provide some additional assistance to them. Any other question at the table?
Yeah, UAMS created some guidelines for team sports. And granted, I know it's high school and collegiate, but any kind of reaction to that, or maybe you can elaborate too, Dr. Smith, on kind of what's involved in some of those.
Did you say UAMS?
Yes.
Okay.
Health Secretary Nate Smith.
Yes, I've not gone through their plan in detail. Their expressed intent for that was not to replace guidance or directives from the Department of Health, but to provide a guidance document to those who are putting together those team sports to help them, so they don't have to reinvent the wheel. Something complementary to what we're developing as a directive. And our team that is working on that directive, finalizing that directive, also has access to that. Not everything that they've included in theirs will be in ours, but I don't think there'll be anything that's out of sync or not harmonized.
Question here.
For the Hospital Association, I was wondering, as we're trying to ramp up testing, do hospitals now have everything they need to increase their testing?
This is Bo Ryle, President and CEO of the Arkansas Hospital Association.
Testing capacity has increased every day, so testing has improved. We've had the help of the Arkansas Department of Health in identifying commercial labs who could assist us. So I would say every day it improves. So things are getting better, and hospitals are getting the supplies they need, and the health department continues to help us.
All right, Leslie, and then.
So with increased testing, that increases the need for PPE, right? Because you do not administer a test unless you're wearing an N95 mask and you are protected. So what is the state of our PPE? Do we have enough to take, to be able to meet the expanded amount of testing that we're doing? And just, do we have enough?
The answer is yes, we do. Whenever the federal government has CDC is committed to providing the sufficient swabs and materials for testing up to 90,000 capacity this month. Our goal is 60,000. We might exceed that. So in terms of testing, the answer is yes. In terms of the PPE, that is right now we're in a good position. Where we are a month and 2 months from now, we got to continue to work on that. We got to continue to build that supply chain nationally. Bo, you started to come up here and say something. Did you want to cover that?
And again, Bo Ryle, President and CEO of the Arkansas Hospital Association.
Yes, I would agree. The PPE is improved. We're getting the supply channels are better now. Hospitals are able to get that, and also working through the health department and the Department of Emergency Management, we've been able to get those supplies.
All right. Yes, Jay.
Have we seen any further hiccups with the PUA website or anything like that? Because I know about 5,600 people had to basically reapply because I guess there were some hiccups during some of the testing phases, or I don't know if that was.
Well, I mean, that was part of the testing. We had sent it out to a sample of people, the 5,600 that you said. And so we learned from that. We continued to build the system. So that was part of the testing mechanism. In terms of, we've had to, our IT people are continuing to build the system. The information that I have is that we're still hoping by the end of the month to have those checks issued. So that's the goal. That's what they're working very hard to accomplish. I have asked them to communicate clearly with those that have applied so they know the status of it. And that's important so that everybody knows when to expect this. And I think they're improving that communication and continuing to build that system. Yes.
Are those going to be issued sort of in bulk, or is it going to be spread out over some weeks, especially with some of those people having come back to work but still eligible for that benefit?
We'll try to get Secretary Preston here to answer some of those questions. Generally speaking, we do them in batches, just like the Ready for Business grants program. They'll be approving them, and in batches they will be sent out. But I'll let him address that more carefully. Is there another question remotely, a final question remotely, I should say?
Yes, Governor.
This is Scott Baltus with the... All
right, we'll take both questions remotely, so I hear Scott loudest.
Okay. Governor, I wanted to ask you specifically about the chuck wagon races that are scheduled for Memorial Weekend here in Carroll County. We've gotten kind of conflicting information on this, and I'm wondering if you plan to intervene and shut those down, or are they going to go forward?
All right, this is a question in reference to the chuck wagon races, which I have participated in before. It's a great Arkansas event. I would encourage the sponsors of that to, one, read the guidelines, and then secondly, if they need to have any plan approved by the Arkansas Department of Health. You need to work closely with them, understand what the guidelines are, and if there's any nuances that don't fit within the guidelines that we can address, submit the plan, and we can take a look at that. And then the final question remotely, I heard somebody else have a question.
Yes, Governor, thanks for taking our question. This is Chad Muir with KNWA News. It's been researched how unemployment can have a negative effect on people's health as well. So how are you guys weighing the health consequences of COVID-19 versus the long-term risks of
poverty, things like food insecurity, overdoses, and suicide?
Excellent question, and that is a serious adverse consequence to a slowdown of the economy. And that's one of the reasons that we've tried to maintain a good balance of public health, but also not shutting down our economy, not sheltering in place, but continuing as many as we can to do business in a safe fashion. And now that we're lifting restrictions, I think you can see that we're trying to accelerate it, consistent with being careful about the health side of it, because we know people want to work, people want to have full freedoms and access to their economy and to the beautiful things in Arkansas. And we continue to recognize adverse consequences if they don't have those opportunities. So I hope that you can see that we're going as fast as we can in terms of moving our economy forward and reaccelerating it. Right behind me is the slogan, ArkansasReady.com, Arkansas Ready for Business. But we got to do it in a safe way. We're not going to enter into phase two opening until the numbers indicate that's where we should be. And we want to study it carefully. We want to understand that. But we're moving rapidly, and everybody should know that we want people working. I think we've avoided hundreds of thousands of people being unemployed because we did not shut down completely our economy. So we're just like we managed it then in a targeted fashion, we want to manage this now in phasing it back in. And then there's any final question at the table?
For the community health centers, you said your goal is to do 2,000 tests a week. So I was wondering, how many are you doing now, and how are you going to increase that?
This is LaShannon Spencer, CEO of the Community Health Centers of Arkansas.
Thank you, Andy, for that question. We've actually been testing before now, but what we find significant is to be in partnership and to ensure that we be a part of that governor's total number. So if you go to our website, people can actually see where the health centers are actually testing, or they can actually call our 800 number. It is 1-833-508-0774. It's 833-508-0774.
So, you know, how many you're doing a week now?
We're doing around 200 a week now, but we're going to intensify that. Yes. We've gotten more swabs. We've been able to work with Quest and LabCorp and just ensuring that we actually have the proper supplies to be able to perform the number of tests. That's correct. Sure. We've been in partnership, and we recognize some key counties, Crittenden County, St. Francis County, Jefferson County. We're actually working with faith-based leaders in partnership to be able to do Sunday testing.
Thank you. Terrific. Thank you all for joining us today. Thank you very much.
And that was Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking in his latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. You're listening to 89.1 KUAR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. Just a brief update on what we heard at today's briefing. The state has seen an additional 72 positive test results for the coronavirus. That brings the total number of people who have ever tested positive to 4,236. And additionally, two more people have died from COVID-19 in Arkansas, bringing the state's total number of deaths from that disease to 97. Of that total of just over 4,200 cases, 862 are considered active cases of COVID-19. We heard a bit of a breakdown on case distribution, in particular active case distribution in counties. As we heard yesterday, there was an increase of a little over 20 cases in St. Francis County. That's over in East Arkansas, where Forest City lies. St. Francis County currently has the greatest number of active cases, and Pulaski County here in central Arkansas is second, just behind St. Francis County. And Pulaski and St. Francis are the only two counties in Arkansas to have 100 or more active cases of the coronavirus currently. We also heard 64 people are hospitalized with COVID-19 in the state, as well as 13 of whom that are on a ventilator. And we heard an increase in, speaking of Forest City, an increase of cases at the Federal Correctional Institution, that is the federal prison over there in East Arkansas. An additional 3 inmates have tested positive there, bringing the total number of cases to 335. And Health Secretary Nate Smith saying that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will be wrapping up their testing at that facility tomorrow. We also heard that a state prison, the Randall Williams Unit in Pine Bluff, 48 inmates and 2 staff there have tested positive for the virus. We also heard a brief update on case demographics of the total number of coronavirus cases we have seen. 38.8% have been in Black Arkansans, and the number of deaths among the African-American community here in the natural state is at 38.9% of the total amount of deaths. Based on age, the age range of 25 to 44 is the one that has the most cases. That is just about 39% of the total number of cases we have seen. The age range of 65 years and older, that only represents about 16% of overall cases, but it represents 71.6% of all deaths. So not the most frequent age group to actually get infected with COVID-19, but unfortunately the most likely to die from complications of that disease. Again, you've been listening to the governor's latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. This is 89.1 KUAR. Just one more update, an increase of 72 new coronavirus cases since yesterday here in Arkansas, bringing the state's total to 4,236, and 2 additional deaths from COVID-19, bringing the total number of deaths to 97. And thanks for listening. This is KUAR News.